Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord. Tune in at 7 p.m. when Pastor Kathy will bless us mightily with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God,
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Walking in grace. In Genesis 2 and 7, in the New King James Version says, "And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Amen. Praise God. The mountains glistened with fresh snow as I walked towards the pasture, calling out in a sing-song voice, "Good morning, my horse, nicknamed Nickered, and my mule, Honk," as they ran to the fence to greet me. But as I swung the gate open, Sky Song, my 1,300-pound white horse, blocked my way. I cocked my head to the side, then in wonder, I stopped. In the crisp air, streams slowly poured from his nostrils as he struck his face directly in mine. Stuck. His nostrils quivered as he gently inhaled the steam from my breath. A tear rolled down my cheek as we stood face to face, sharing the intimacy of each other's breath of life. The breath of life, what an incredible gift from God. It was something I had never given much thought to until I was in ICU family waiting room and became friends with a patient named Emily. The married, middle-aged mother had slowly paced hallways throughout the day. The hospital was her temporary home while she waited for donor lungs so she could live. Throughout the weeks that I was there, I would be sure to pop into her room to visit. Each time I left, I thank God for the ability to breathe easily. Months later, I celebrated when I heard that she had come through surgery and was able to breathe. And now, while rubbing Sky Song's favorite spot on his forehead, I marveled at the beauty of breath and gave God thanks. Amen, amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for stopping me and reminding me to give you intimate time. Teach me to be grateful for what you have given me. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. If you want to dig deeper, read Psalms 100 and Psalms 147. Amen. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bless our hearts with a word from the Lord. At this time, I want to welcome each and every one of you to our sweet hour of prayer and thankful Thursday. Praise be to God. I hope you enjoyed this selection. It's The Spirit of Victory by the Wickytones. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you in gratitude. For this new day, we surrender our heart, mind, and spirit to your loving care. Grant us wisdom, discernment, and strength for the challenges ahead. Fill us with your peace that surpasses all understanding. Bless our loved ones. Protect them and draw them closer to you. Use us as a vessel of your love and light, that we may bring joy and hope to those around us. Order our steps according to your will and shower us with your abundant blessings. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
all you got, that's all you got, that's all you got.
Psalms 127:2 in the ESV Bible says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Regroup. It is time to regroup. When I was young, my aunt would always say, okay, let's regroup. After we would come home after one of our girls' trips, I knew that she meant it was time to recalibrate, time to breathe, unwind, and rest. But it wasn't until I was older that I appreciated what it meant to regroup. After a long, hard day, sometimes we just want to go home and regroup. Too often, we are like the Energizer Bunny. We want to keep going and going and going without stopping to appreciate the small things. And it's hard to get off the hamster wheel long enough to look around us and enjoy God's beautiful creation. For many of us, the need to stay busy isn't our fault. We learn in grade school to stay busy. It started during school hours. But many of us also went to after-school activities, soccer, dance, swim team. And then we went home to piles of homework. And we studied for tests until bedtime. We were never advised to just stop and be a kid and relax. So we continued to run on the hamster wheel throughout high school, and it has continued into adulthood. Think about it. Even when we get rare weekends free, aren't they jam-packed with activities or cleaning the house? Maybe it's time to regroup, to recharge our batteries. Even our phones need recharging. Do you give yourself time to rest and recharge, or do you go until you burn out? Amen? You got this. So many of us are used to going and going and going and going, and this leads to burnout. We need to give ourselves time to enjoy life. Amen? Even watching the ocean or a campfire can be soothing to the soul. What do you enjoy doing? What recharges your soul? See where in your life you can start making changes so that you give yourself time to rest and regroup. Amen. You got this. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Pastor Kathy DuBose will come and bless our hearts with a word from the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for the gift of life and for the challenges that we face each day. We are grateful for the opportunities to grow in strength, courage, and perseverance. May we face those challenges with faith and determination, knowing that you are always with us and that all things are possible through you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. At this time, I will play another selection. Victory is mine. Praise be to God by Dorothy Norwood. Bitterness puts distance between you and God. Amen. In Proverbs 10 and 12, in the CSB Bible says, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all offenses. Are you mired in the quicksand of bitterness or regret? If so, it's time to free yourself from the mind, from the miry, excuse me. The world holds few, if any, rewards for those who remain angrily focused on upon the past. Still, the act of forgiveness is difficult for all, but the most saintly men and women, being frail, fallible, imperfect human beings, most of us are quick to anger, quick to blame, slow to forgive, and even slower to forget. Yet we know that it's best to forgive others just as we, too, have been forgiven. Amen? If there exists even one person, including myself, against whom you still harbor bitter feelings, it's time to forgive and move on. Bitterness and regret are not part of God's plans for you. But God won't force you to forgive others. It's a job that only you can finish. And the sooner you finish it, the better. Amen? Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hate. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. Bitterness is a spiritual cancer, a rapid growing malignancy that can consume your life. Bitterness cannot be ignored, but must be healed at the very core. And only Christ can heal bitterness. Grudges are like hand grenades. It is wise to release them from before they destroy you. Sin is any deed or memory that hampers or binds human personality. Here's a thought. You can never fully enjoy the present if you're bitter about the past. Instead of living in the past, make peace with it and move on. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 to 32 in the CSB says, all bitterness, anger, and wrath, insults and slanders must be removed from you along with all wickedness, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. In James 3 and 16 in the CSB says, for where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every kind of evil. Proverbs 14 and 10 in the New King James Version says, the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. In Romans 12 and 19 in the Message Bible says, don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, free us from anger and bitterness. When we are angry, we cannot feel the peace that you intend for our life. When we are bitter, we cannot sense your presence. Keep us mindful that forgiveness is your commandment. Let us turn away from bitterness and instead claim the spiritual abundance that you offer through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you woke us up again this morning to see another beautiful sunrise. Thank you for seeing us safely to another week. Our family is healthy. Our bills are paid. We have food and shelter, and we are thankful and blessed. We praise you in advance for opening doors for all who need jobs, for healing the sick, and for keeping us and our families covered under the shadows of his wings. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And now it is time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Not Hearing Due to Timing. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalm 69:13, and it says, at an acceptable time, O God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, answer me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. A third reason we sometimes don't have an answer from God is because the Father has not yet spoken. In other words, the Lord is willing to speak to you, but you may have put artificial time limits on when he should. And he knows that either you don't need the information yet, or it will harm you. This is frustrating for us. At times, we believe we have both a need and a right to know information as soon as we ask for it. But often we must wait because of purposes hidden to us. Your Heavenly Father is always working, but timing is everything for his purpose. In the unseen, he is orchestrating his provision for you in ways, places, and with people you cannot imagine. Therefore, the delays you face in hearing him are not a denial of his desire to speak to you. Rather, they are an integral part of his strategy to arrange all the details and get you positioned for his plan. Therefore, take heart. God is actively working on your behalf. So don't give up seeking him. He knows the exact timing for when you need to hear from him. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, I trust you. I will wait on your perfect timing with expectancy and hope. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection.
Everything
Going to spend a little time with Jesus. In James chapter 1 verse 5 in the New Living Translation says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Amen. Praise God. The life of a teenager preparing for high school graduation is all about taking exams and filling out applications. For college admissions, grants, scholarships, or jobs, one early morning, I drove AJ, my son, to take the SAT for the second time to see if he could improve his score. The air was thick in the car, although I was outward calm. Inside, I was upset and fearful. He hadn't prepared for this second try any more than he had for the first. And it was not because he did not have parental probing. As I pulled into the parking lot with a zillion other parents, I talked to Jesus silently. Now, Lord, you know he did not study the way he should have. The half-hearted practice tests he did are not just enough. Immediately, I heard in my spirit, no, but I am enough, and I have enough wisdom to take him where he needs to go. In an instant, Jesus broadened my perspective and brought calm to my frustrated heart. Jesus sees the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46 and 10. So he wasn't anxious about the test. Not only would he give my son wisdom during the exam, but he also helped me understand that this was but a tiny part of AJ's journey toward his God ordained destiny, no matter how he score on his SAT, Pamela Tolson Howard. Faith step. When you experience a challenge or are not sure what to do, stop what you're doing and ask Jesus for guidance. Then wait to hear his answer. Amen? Praise God. I hope you enjoyed that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we humbly come before you in prayer. May you fill our hearts with gratitude for the gift of life and the blessings that surround us. Grant us strength and wisdom to face the challenges ahead. Guide our thoughts, words, and actions that they may reflect your love and bring hope to others. May your grace and peace be with us throughout this day. In your holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play another selection.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. Of all the kings, the
carpenter.
You are the
living
word.
Awesome ruler. Gentile redeemer.
Yeah.
call. Amen. Praise be to God. Unfortunately, Pastor Kathy will not be with us this evening, so I will bring a word from the Lord. Amen. After this selection, I will come back with what thus says the Lord. Praise God for your glory.
Desperately
wait. Desperately wait.
voices in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, we have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out for him.
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. That's 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. And it says, the Lord speaks to Samuel. Verse 1 says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I did not call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I did not call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God. And he hasn't disciplined them So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offering. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. So here, although God had spoken directly and audibly with Moses and Joshua, his word became rare during the three centuries of rule by judges. By Eli's time, no prophets were speaking God's message to Israel. Why? Look at the attitude of Eli's sons. They either refused to listen to God or allowed greed to get in the way of any communication with him. Listening and responding is vital in a relationship with God. Although God does not always use the sound of a human voice, he always speaks clearly through his word. To receive his message, we must be ready to listen and to act upon what he tells us. Like Samuel, be ready to say, "Here I am," when God calls you to action. Amen. To God be the glory. Awakened from sleep, the boy Samuel heard someone calling his name. Thinking that the aged priest Eli had called, Samuel ran quickly to his bedside. And Eli had not called. After the third time this happened, Eli realized that the voice must be the voice of God. He told the boy to listen well. And if the voice came again to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." 1 Samuel 3 and 9. When the voice came the fourth time, Samuel did as he had been instructed. The message he received from God was not a pleasant one. Eli's blasphemous sons were about to be punished, and so was Eli because he had not restrained them. This ancient story reflects a simpler view of life than ours. God still speaks to people. God calls us even now. Consider several pointed questions. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. I pray for the increase of our congregation. I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. I pray for those who are sick and shut in, may be healed. I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation. We thank you for supplying our every need and all these blessings. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Now, Father God, remove self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Tonight, my message is divided into five paragraphs, excuse me. My text for this message is coming from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, and it says, "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." Amen. And the title of this message is The Call of God. The Call of God. When does God call? God calls when our hearts are impressionable and tender. This is true in the time of childhood, especially so when a child has been nurtured in things of God. This was true of the boy Samuel, who had never known anything else. This is true in a time of sickness, which teaches us our weaknesses and our dependency on God. This is true in a time of sorrow, for sorrow is one of God's greatest ministers. This is true in a time of disappointment and defeat. God calls when we have reached the end of our rope and know we have. It has been truly said, our extremities is God's opportunity. Amen. God calls when we seek his face. The first tenet of biblical religion is that God, not us, took the initiative to bring about our salvation. Yet everywhere the Bible encourages us to approach God, to call on his name, to seek his face. Those who seek God's face will hear God's call in their souls. Daniel 10 and 12. Amen. Why does God call? God calls to offer salvation from our sins. Christians are referred to in the New Testament as the call in Romans 8 and 28. We find such phrases as the call of Jesus Christ, Romans 1 and 6, the call according to his purpose, Romans 8 and 28, and called to be saints, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. The meaning of all this is that God took the initiative in our salvation. 1 John 4 and 10, we are to call on the name of the Lord because he first called us in Romans 10 and 13. God calls to judge us. God's call often comes as his response to human wickedness. to announce his judgment. When God called Samuel in the night, he gave him a message of judgment on Eli and his son in his household. 1 Samuel 3, 12 through 13. Praise be to God. Do we think God will be soft and sentimental about our sins? Like some of Dotan's earthly parents, and fail to judge us because of our sins. Not so. His judgment are sure. God calls to humble us, to remind us of his sovereignty, the moral foundations of this universe rest on this inflexible fact. A silent power, rigorous and austere, works certain retribution on or reward, as the case may be. So let us not think the sovereignty of God will be set aside just because we may not believe in it. The nature of this universal universe does not change to suit our whims. God is in charge. Whether we realize it or not, things are not slipping out of his hand. God calls to enlist us in service and to assign to us task. God commissioned certain people to act as his prophets, but God's call to enlistment does not come only on the high level of the prophets. He also called ordinary people like you and me into his service to do ordinary tasks and sometimes extraordinary tasks. If God has called you to serve him, if God has assigned you some task, that job may be done without you, but your failure to enlist will spoil his plan for you. For nobody else can do what God has intended for you to do. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So who does God call? God calls nations and leaders of nations. There is no more striking illustration of the fact of God's sovereign rule in history than in reference to Cyrus, king of Persia. In Isaiah 44 through 45, Israel is in captivity, but their captors, the Babylonians, have fallen before Cyrus and the rising tide of the Persian Empire. Praise God. It is God's purpose. We learn here to use Cyrus as an instrument to restore the Jews to their own land. He even referred to Cyrus as my anointed. God calls churches to do his will. Acts 13 and 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. This call came to a church. Amen. Hallelujah. God calls individuals to do his will. In his call, God's points of contact is the individual. There is no other door, no other way, no other nations, pastor, parliaments, institutions and churches are all made up of individuals. If God knocks at their door, he must knock at the door of individual hearts. When he has something he wants done, he calls on the individual. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise be to God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Where does God call? God calls us where we are. God called Paul on the road to Damascus as he neared the city. He called Isaiah in the temple as he pondered the nation's sad predicament, precipitated by King Uzziah's death. God calls us in the course of our daily work. He calls Amos from following the flock. He called Elisha from following the plow. He called missionary William Carey from the shoe cobbler's bench. God calls us even when we are trying to run away. Elijah lost heart and left his posts of duty. But God found him in a cave on Mount Horeb and asked, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" 1 Kings 19:9 in the RSV Bible. God called Jonah, who fled from his call, but God's voice found him and brought him back to his task. We may try to hide from God, but we cannot escape him. Amen. What responses does God receive when he calls? Every person must answer for himself or herself. We may ignore his call. Through conscience, God's call is constantly breaking in, calling us to follow him, to serve him, to honor him, and to worship him. And so often, we ignore him. We may reject his call. Some do so deliberately, stubbornly. Others do so painfully, sorrowfully. But the result is the same. The rich young ruler who came to Jesus considered Jesus' terms of discipleship and rejected them. So we read in Mark 10:22, he went away sorrowfully. Nevertheless, he went away. We may accept God's call. We may say yes to him. The towering mountain, peaks in the history of Revelation, has been those who had heard God's voice saying in Isaiah 6:8, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And have answered, "Here I am. Send me." Amen. Praise God. And I just want to share one more thing with you. Okay. Praise be to God. Oh, amen. Echonai. No, three. Chapter three. Here we go. Praise be to God. The call which divine grace designs shall be made effectual, will be repeated till it is so. Until we come to the call, Eli, perceiving that it was the voice of God that Samuel heard, instructed him what to say, though it was a disgrace to Eli for God's call to be direct to Samuel. Yet he told him how to meet it. Thus the elder should do their utmost to assist and improve the youngers that are rising up. Let us never fail to teach those who are coming after us, even such as will soon be preferred before us. In John 1 and 30, God's good words should be put into children's mouth betimes, by which they may be prepared to learn divine things and be trained up to regard them. What a great deal of guilt and corruption is there in us, concerning which we may say it is the iniquities which our heart knoweth. We are conscious to ourselves of it. Those who do not restrain the sins of others when it is in their power to do it, make themselves partakers of the guilt and will be charged as joining in it. In his remarkable answer to this awful sentence, Eli acknowledged that the Lord had a right to do as he saw good, being assured that he would do nothing wrong. The meekness, patience, and humility contained in those words that they showed that he was truly repentant. He accepted the punishment of his sin. Amen. And as I bring this message to a close, let me make this matter very personal. Let me leave it at your very doorstep. Christian friends, God is calling you as an individual. What will you do about it? What will your response be? Unsaved friend, God is calling you. He is calling now. Don't turn him away. Instead, hear his voice and respond to him. Will you? I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father God, I am a sinner. I pray you forgive me for my sins. I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, be my Lord, Savior, and friend. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I pray that your Holy Spirit takes residence in me. All these blessings I ask in Jesus' name, I pray and believe that it is already done. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing you have to do is to find yourself a good Bible-based church. Amen? And I want to leave you with these words from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m. I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So God bless you and may heaven smile upon you. And good night. We love you. And shalom. And on that note, we are going to leave out on Rise by Rob and O'Ray. Good night, everybody. God bless you. We love you. And have a wonderful evening. Praise God.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.